Now, back to Sports 56 Mornings.
Isn't it a lovely morning?
On Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by James Gattis Jewelers. Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Welcome back, everyone. 8:05, the time, hour two, here on Sports 56 Mornings, the Monday, May 6th, 2024 edition. Greg Gaston, Eli Savoy, Zach Boyd with you from the Family Leisure Studios. Family Leisure, where family and fun come together, 2120 Witten Road, just north of I-40. Currently 68 degrees, and we'll get up to 84 today. A few showers early, scattered thunderstorms arriving for the afternoon, but only about a 35% chance of rain. We had a lot of rain yesterday, a lot of rain overnight into the morning hours. Tonight, that rain's out of the area. Cloudy skies, though, 71 for a low, that's it. And then tomorrow, 83 for a high. We'll see a lot of sun tomorrow with about a 24% chance of precipitation. Hour two of the program is brought to you by our friends at James Gattis Jewelers, just in time for Mother's Day, right this Sunday. Think about mom. Think about something special. Put it together. You got James Gattis Jewelers, your family's jeweler, 4900 Poplar between Mendenhall and St. Nick, and on the web at GattisJewelers.com. Every Monday and Friday, they bring you the Memphis Sports Fact. Did you know? Former ECS and Mississippi State baseball standout Brent Rooker hit two home runs in the same inning during Saturday's 20-4 win by the A's over the Marlins. He becomes the 60th player in Major League Baseball history to hit two dingers in the same inning. Again, for special watches and earrings and necklaces for mom or for anybody at any time, it's James Gattis Jewelers. They are also your bridal engagement and anniversary jeweler headquarters. So when you're thinking about getting engaged, when you're thinking about that wedding and you're looking for that beautiful, personally designed wedding set, make sure you head on over to James Gattis Jewelers, part of the fabric of Memphis, part of the fabric of East Memphis, at 4900 Poplar between Mendenhall and St. Nick.
That seems like a really high. When I heard that, I was like, that was.
Me too.
I mean, I know they've been playing baseball a really long. There's been a lot of baseball played throughout the years. But I don't, that 60 seemed like an awfully high number to me.
I would have said,
like, if somebody would have asked me, how many times do you think you guys had two home runs, same inning? I would have said, let's say 25.
Exactly my thought. I was like, 15, 20 times maybe it's happened. 60 times it's happened. It still doesn't take away from the accomplishment of Brent Rooker. But two in the same inning is more common than we thought. Now, of course, the most famous two home runs in the same inning, the former Cardinal, Fernando Tatis. Not Fernando Tatis Jr., but Fernando Tatis, who hit two grand slams in the same inning, off the same pitcher.
And the thing is, like, listen, anything that's only happened 60 times when you're talking about the history of Major League Baseball is,
right,
like, that is still incredibly rare. I mean, yeah, there's been a lot of baseball games played throughout history. So if you're doing something that's only been done 60 times, that's pretty amazing stuff, but that's just more than I would have guessed that it had happened.
No, I'm with you, and not to go off on a tangent, but some of the records in baseball, you know, the 511 wins from Cy Young, yeah, it's never going to be touched. I mean, there are some records that may be touched. Certainly, I do believe we'll get another 400 hitter sometime, but two grand slams in one inning, I don't know if we'll ever see that again. That was pretty incredible. We'll get back to baseball. We got other baseball news to dive back into. We started the show. I was talking about my trip to St. Louis over the weekend. Not good for the Cardinals. But we've been talking NBA playoffs here to wrap up hour number one, and we'll continue here in hour number two. Denver, Minnesota will play again tonight. Denver is a 5.5-point favorite, with Minnesota leading that series now 1-0. In the Eastern Conference, the first round wrapped up yesterday, finally, for the Cavs and the Magic. And that one went the full seven, with the home team winning all seven. So Cleveland advances with a 106-94 win over the Orlando Magic. The Stars, well, they stood out, as they usually do. Donovan Mitchell, 39 points for Cleveland. And Paolo Banchero, 38 points and 16 rebounds for Orlando. The Magic, led by 10 at the half in Cleveland, thought that there was a strong possibility that a road team would finally win in the series. Wasn't to be. Mitchell put his team on his back, carried Cleveland across the finish line, and now the Cavaliers will move on to take on the New York Knicks.
Yeah, I mean, Donovan Mitchell, going back to Friday night when he tried to single-handedly win their game, win it in game six.
Oh, excuse me, Boston. They'll play Boston. My mistake.
With his 50-point performance, 89 points over game six and seven is pretty amazing stuff. I mean, he just, he just basically refused to lose. And Orlando certainly got off to the good start, made shots early. They were making threes early. But in the end, they just, Franz Wagner couldn't make a shot. Jalen Suggs couldn't make a shot. Banchero, even though he had 38, he's 10 of 28 from the field. Suggs, 2 of 13. Wagner, 1 of 15. It's going to be pretty hard to win a game with that kind of shooting from those three guys, especially. They shoot 33% for the game as a team. Wagner was just, my goodness, he could not get a shot to go. That's just incredible.
And he had a great game. What, the other game? The game six?
Yeah.
Was when he had the big game?
Yeah, 26 in game six. You know, and then Darius Garland couldn't make a shot for Cleveland. And then in the fourth quarter, he made the one big three in the corner, had another bucket. He finally got a couple of shots to go. But, Orlando, that's a good young team. Mm-hmm. I think certainly a little bit of it showed yesterday. Game seven setting on the road is not the easiest for a team that hasn't been there, done that. There certainly are some really good pieces for the future with that Orlando team.
That's the only series that the home team won every game, correct?
Yes.
It has to be, right? So as I mentioned and corrected myself, Cleveland, Boston, they begin tomorrow in the Eastern Conference semifinals. Boston installed as an 11.5-point favorite in game one over Cleveland. Okay, so tonight, as I mentioned, Minnesota and Denver, we also get the start of the Pacers-Knicks series, also known as the Reggie Miller series, begins at the Garden in New York. The Knicks are a 5.5-point favorite in game one. Indiana taking care of business over Milwaukee, winning 4-2, and the Knicks getting by Philadelphia 4-2. How do you see that series?
I don't know. It's if can the Pacers figure out some way to somewhat control Jalen Brunson? I guess what it comes down to, Brunson is in that mode of just not letting his team lose. You know, Pacers certainly have a lot of good pieces offensively, but I just don't know, what they're able to do against him. If Josh Hart could continue to play the way he did in round one, then certainly I think the Knicks got a great chance of advancing past Indiana.
Who do you give the better chance to upset Boston, assuming Boston gets by Cleveland?
I mean, it might be the Pacers just because they could score a bunch of points. But I don't really give either one of them much of a chance. I think Boston, I still believe Boston, even with Porzingis injury, I think Boston is going to walk through the Eastern Conference.
All right, and so the other series that we haven't touched on yet will be Dallas and Oklahoma City. They will begin on Tuesday, so tomorrow night. Oklahoma City at home, favored by 3.5 in game number one. It will be a few days off for Oklahoma City in between games after depositing knocking out the New Orleans Pelicans 4-0 as they swept that series. And for Dallas, a hard-fought 6-game series win over the Clippers, 4-2. They eliminated the Clippers with a 114-101 win. I don't know. I thought Dallas was going to win that series. The Clippers fade it, as a James Harden-led team usually does. And we'll see what happens with the Clippers and Kawhi again injured. Although that guy, obviously, with a couple of NBA titles to his credit, it's hard to put blame on him. But recent years, he's just not been able to be on the court in the postseason. Harden. You know what you get with Harden in the postseason. Paul George not able to step up and carry his team. In the meantime, I've never seen, and I not like I know the guy, but from Kyrie Irving and the things that he has said about his relationship with Doncic and that team, it seems like they're in a really, really good position. Now, do they have enough to beat Oklahoma City, that young stud team with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander leading the way? Maybe. Maybe they do, because they got some bigs. They got Gafford. They got P.J. Washington. They got Lively. Could negate, probably will negate, Chet Holmgren. But I think a key guy in this series will be Jalen Williams, the one J-A-L-E-N. But I don't know. I could see Dallas upsetting Oklahoma City in this series.
Yeah, I mean, when you got Kyrie and Luka, certainly you've got a chance. Kyrie was really incredible in that first round series. I mean, he played the ultra efficient, like this. It was the best of Kyrie. And when you get the best of Kyrie, like he's, and people forget just kind of how good he is because he's a little bit weird, but mm-hmm. the dude
a little bit
absolutely can play. And, you know, Friday night, 5 of 9 from three, goes for 30 points, 11 of 19 from the field, just efficient, you know, play from him. He's hitting some of those amazing shots, crazy shots, doing the things that seemingly only Kyrie can do. The question is just exactly how healthy is Luka, and how does that affect the series? It's good for them that they ended up getting the kind of extra day off, whereas, you know, Minnesota and Denver are going to have played two games before they play game one. So they get 3 full days off in between games mm-hmm. to try and get him as healthy as possible. But that to me is going to be the question, is just health wise, what is Luka able to do? Because you're going to have to be on the defensive end. He's going to have to do some running around, and Oklahoma City's got a lot of different weapons, so you can't hide Luka on the defensive end against them.
Yeah, and I know there were a couple of games where people were going, wow, look at Luka and how well he played defensively. He's still a liability a lot of times defensively, but getting back to Kyrie Irving, he is so dialed in with this team, and as nutty as he is away from the arena, that guy is fun to watch, and there's nobody who can finish better than him. So I give them a very good chance to knock off Oklahoma City. By the way, do you think, we were just talking about Anthony Edwards. I was going to ask Zach, he's rolled out for a second here, but right now, you're in no particular order. Right now, the top 10 players in the NBA are, top 10 players in the NBA. I want to get your thoughts, and folks can text in if they want on the Sissy Law Cabin text lines. No order. Give me the 10 best players in the NBA. I mean, Anthony Edwards is certainly one, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander are one, right? That's two young guys. But now you go with the gimmies. Giannis, right? Luka, Jokic, Embiid, right? Mm-hmm. Brunson's got to be, right? Or is he? So right now I got Edwards, SGA, Giannis, Luka, Jokic, Embiid. That's 6. Tatum?
Yeah, I think Tatum's got to be on that list.
Okay. That's 7. Is LeBron still top 10?
I think you certainly, you got a good argument for it. I mean, that's the question is, like, a lot of these older guys, I know LeBron's really old, but still playing at a high level. Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, those guys,
you know. Anthony Davis,
you know, what do you feel on them, compared to some of the younger guys?
Yeah. And this, I'm not asking, like, you know, you're all time and, you know, some career thing. And I'm not talking about future. I'm talking about right now. Who would you say right now, the 10 best players, and don't take into consideration an injury. I mean, just don't even think about them being injured. I mean, so Ja's not a top 10 guy. Ja's certainly way up there. He's not a top 10 guy. Zach, we're looking at the top 10 players right now. Top 10 players in the NBA right now. And I think the four givens are, I mean, right away from the guys that have won MVPs recently, Giannis, Jokic, Embiid, I think Luka's a top 10 player. And then Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Anthony Edwards. That's six. So if we put Tatum in, that's seven.
If you went, Durant's probably got to be in there right now.
KD's got to be, right?
Durant, Curry, and LeBron.
So is there any arguments? Edwards, SGA, Giannis, Luka, Jokic, Embiid, Tatum, KD, LeBron, and Steph. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. That's the 10 we got. That would mean no AD, no Booker, no Sabonis or Jamal Murray, or I'm trying to just going around the league, Jaylen Brown, no Zion Williamson, no Ja Morant, no Paul George, no Harden, none of those guys. Obviously no Trae Young, no Jimmy Butler. Oh, how about Wembanyama? Is he top 10 yet?
No.
No.
Okay. That's no Halliburton. That's no, that's Brunson's not top 10 then on this list. We missing any obvious ones?
I think that's it.
No, Dame Lillard's not top 10. No way.
Fringe.
Well, yeah, but top 10. That's what we got. We got Anthony Edwards, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Luka Doncic, Nikola Jokic, Joel Embiid, Jason Tatum, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, LeBron James. We happy with that list? Yeah?
Yeah, okay. I'm good with that.
All right.
No particular order, right?
No particular order.
Yeah.
Danny, that would drive us crazy trying to figure that thing out. No particular order. It's easy to figure out some great barbecue. We have a lot of good places. I'm not going to try to say there's one better than the other, but there are a lot of really good places to get barbecue here in Memphis. But I will say one's better than the other because this is the one that I go to, and that's Corky's Ribs and Barbecue. You can dine in at any of their four locations, Poplar Avenue in Memphis, Poplar Avenue in Collierville, Germantown Parkway in Cordova, or Goodman Road in Olive Branch. You can drive through, get that no-contact delivery. You can have the services delivered to your home or office. They have been catering for the four decades they've been in existence, serving up that delicious slow-smoke barbecue. So if you have an event coming up, graduation get-together, little family reunion this summer, you want it catered, any type of sporting event, tailgating, Corky's is the place. Just give them a call and ask them about their catering services. Also, you can reserve their private party room at either the Cordova or the Olive Branch locations, birthday celebrations, anniversaries, graduation parties. Just give them a jingle again at Corky's with the Cordova and Olive Branch locations available with the private party room. Corky's Ribs and Barbecue, open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week. You're tuned in to Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Be sure to follow us at Sports 56 WHBQ on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube to watch live video of our shows, stay up to date with station events, and have chances to win prizes. Don't miss out on anything that's going on. Follow us at Sports 56 WHBQ.
Now back to Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by James Gaddis Jewelers.
Genuine diamonds, baby.
Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Former Memphis Tiger Naquan Tomlin receives an NBA G League Elite Camp invite. I always thought once he got to Memphis, I had a chance to talk to him and watch him play and how he came on late in the season. And really, to be honest with you, in the late run where they struggled, you know, he was more consistent even than David Jones. I thought that Tomlin was probably the best pro prospect. I don't know how it translates into the NBA, but with his size and ability to step out and shoot the three, I think he certainly has a chance.
Bigs that can shoot the three. They like those, so certainly I think he'll have an opportunity to certainly make money playing basketball somewhere, and maybe can eventually work his way into the NBA. A couple of texts on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener line at 901-360-8255, 901-360-8255. Raider Corey texts in, says, the Magic team has a very bright future. Good coach, but their youth and inexperience was on full display yesterday, especially in that second half. They'll be a force if they continue developing. Well, obviously, with a cornerstone like Paolo Banchero, you know, Jalen Suggs really took a step forward this year and kind of developing into the player that they hoped he would be when they drafted him originally. You know, Franz Wagner will certainly has a lot of ability and has had some pretty good games. But, yeah, I think they're the third youngest team in the NBA,
right,
I think, age-wise.
Right up there.
Mm-hmm. Oklahoma City, and I think somebody else is in front of them as far as youth goes. But, yeah, I mean, anytime you got a guy like Banchero to be the cornerstone, that's a nice start for sure.
It is, but where do you think they go from here? Obviously, they're a playoff team, so they're not getting a lottery pick. Do you think they need to bring in a veteran, and does a free agent want to play with a bunch of young guys, even though it is Florida, it's Orlando, it's not a bad place, there are a lot worse places to play? Do you think that's the direction they go in? Because what they have now is nice. Is it good enough to topple a Boston? I don't think so. A New York with where they're going right now? I don't believe so either. So there's a lot of things that will happen. You know, is Mitchell going to stay in Cleveland? Will something happen there? Do you think it's a going out and getting a veteran starter to add to what they have in Banchero and Wagner and a few of these other guys?
I think they could. I mean, they've got they'll have money to spend because they're not paying Paolo yet. Most of these guys are on cheap deals still, continuing for next year. So they got a lot of money they could spend. I mean, and maybe they have to overpay a little bit for somebody, but they have the ability to do that. Because of where they are cap wise. So, yeah, I think they'll look to add a veteran piece to come in there and be the kind of the running mate with Banchero. Right now they've only got $104 million committed for next year.
Wow.
So they've got all kinds of money. You know, they've got Banchero, obviously. A lot of these guys are on team options, and I think they've already picked them up from their rookie contracts. But, I mean, pretty much the entire team is off of rookie contracts. So when you've got that, you've got the ability to go add some important pieces. And I would think that they will be making every effort to do that.
Imagine Tomlin receiving the NBA G League camp invite. Bronny James gets the NBA Combine invite. He did not deserve to be invited to that, but you knew it was going to happen, which again is leading me down the road to the guy will end up with his dad more than likely in Los Angeles. But if you look at players, and it's a limited amount of players who get to the NBA Combine, and from the season he had, yeah, I understand coming off, I still think it's amazing that he's battled back from the heart issue. Don't get me wrong. I like the kid. I'm rooting for him. But there's probably some other guys deserving more of an invite to the NBA Combine than him.
Yeah. I mean, it's ridiculous, quite frankly, that he's invited to the Combine.
It's almost like he has an influential father.
There's a million players at college basketball who had better years than him.
Exactly. Yeah. Nepotism is alive and well.
Good for David Jones to get the invite to that.
Yes.
And that's good for him. And he'll have that opportunity to go there and impress and get his way into the draft. But
Eli, you're right. That's the thing. David Jones is still one of those guys that I don't think everybody knows, because there's so many question marks, how good he is, how good he can be. Is there this high ceiling? Going to the draft, going to the combine, he's with players of equal ability or better. And so either he will be exposed.
And Bronny James.
And Bronny James. Well, Bronny James will carry his bag for him. Either he will be exposed or he will elevate to where he is definitely going into the draft and he is gone from Memphis. He will not come back to play for the Tigers. But if he gets exposed, he's not playing defense, whatever. I think he's a talented player. I think he's a good enough player right now to be a second round pick. But I'm not a basketball exec. I'm not a basketball scout. I don't know. He goes to that combine and elevates his game. Forget about it. Bon voyage. There you go. Bon voyage. He's not coming back to Memphis. But if he struggles, he's coming back to Memphis. It's going to be that simple.
Ron texts in, and he says he's low cabin listener, and says, I think if the T-Wolves get past Denver, they win the ring. They're good enough to win a ring.
Especially
with Anthony Edwards.
That's crazy.
When you got Anthony Edwards doing what he's doing, like, you certainly, they have the ability to win the ring. I would love to see a Minnesota Oklahoma City. I know a lot of people wouldn't, but I would love to see an Oklahoma City Minnesota Western Conference Final. Yeah,
the only reason I don't want to see that is because of my prediction of Denver. I want my prediction to be right. But yes, I would not have a problem with Minnesota and Oklahoma City seeing a bunch of those young players. Of course, Minnesota has some veteran players as well. They're more of a mix. That's why I think that texter's absolutely right. If they can somehow beat Denver, Minnesota gets the NBA Finals, beats Oklahoma City. I've already predicted Boston's not winning at all. So we'll see. But I still think Denver ends up winning it. But Minnesota, and saying that they can win it all is not crazy. They are talented everywhere. And to have like a Naz Reid come off the bench, for goodness sakes. Have a leader like Conley running that offense with a couple of superstars. And Gobert, we laughed at the trade several years ago. Maybe they come through and win it all. Then who will be laughing last? One other bit of portal news. Where is it? Oh, Gonzaga. Gonzaga got Khalif Battle from Arkansas. So big pickup there for Mark Few. The guy from Rutgers, Cliff, I can never pronounce his last name correctly. Alabama got him. So Nate Oates getting into the portal, able to nail that guy. There were a lot of teams in the running for his services. But as far as Khalif Battle is concerned, he's headed out west to Gonzaga.
Another texter says, as the Grizzlies try to improve their roster for the 24-25 season, please don't have D'Angelo Russell, Tobias Harris, or Darvin Ham anywhere near the surroundings. Well, I don't think you have to worry about D'Angelo Russell. Pretty sure you don't have to worry about Tobias Harris. Now, Darvin Ham and Taylor Jenkins are very tight. I don't know what Darvin Ham's going to want to do. Fresh off being fired, he's still being paid by the Lakers. I have no idea what he will do next year, but it wouldn't be out of the question for Darvin Ham to be somewhere near the Grizzlies.
No, that's not out of the question. But I heard on national radio them talk about the situation, which we were talking about earlier about the Lakers. They'd love to get Ty Lue, probably not happening. Jason Kidd, if you missed this earlier, signs an extension with Dallas. So even if they wanted to go after Jay Kidd, that is not happening. The talk is that maybe the Lakers get Monty Williams from Detroit, and Darvin Ham ends up in Detroit as the Pistons head coach. That it's a flip-flop. That's not coming from me. That's not my speculation. That's from national guys. I think Windhorse talking about that as a possibility.
That's interesting.
I like Monty Williams a lot. A lot. What he was able to do in Phoenix.
Detroit's paying him a lot.
They are, and it's a young team, so I don't know what they expected. I guess they would have patience with him in a league, a sport that doesn't have patience at all. You know. But I don't know if there's anybody there in Detroit that has that kind of power. You know, Cunningham's the biggest name, and he doesn't have that clout yet. He's not LeBron James and get somebody fired right away. But Monty Williams, I thought, got a raw deal in Phoenix. I think he's a really good coach. So maybe that's a route that the Lakers go in. And if that's the case, maybe a guy like Darvin Ham, who didn't do a bad job. Come on, they were in the Western Conference Finals last year. And it's 2 years. But if you're on the outs with the star players, then you're done. And we'll see again with Phoenix. They still haven't made a decision yet with Vogel. That still could happen. As far as him being fired. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, unbelievable finishes at the Kentucky Derby, the NASCAR race in Kansas. We had a Game 7 that went overtime in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Nothing like Stanley Cup playoff hockey overtime action when the series is on the line. And we had that. All that drama happened over the weekend. We'll discuss that when we return.
Fleet Feet is the place to go to get all your running gear. You want to make sure you get shoes that are perfect for you. Go see the folks at Fleet Feet. They'll take great care of you, taking a look at the way you run, the way you walk, and then fitting you in those shoes that are right for you based on where you put the different part, the pressure on the different parts of your feet. Shoes are all a little bit different. People are all a little bit different in the way they walk and the way they run, and they will match you with those shoes that are perfect for you, plus anything else that you need, whether it be shorts or shirts or hats, sunglasses, socks, whatever, any of that gear, they can take care of you over at Fleet Feet. You can go see them in the Laurelwood Shopping Center in East Memphis. You can also see them out in Conyerville, Poplar, and Houston Levee, next door to Huey's. Two locations for Fleet Feet to serve you. You also find them online, fleetfeetmemphis.com, and on social media, where they can keep you up to date on things they've got going on, things you can get involved with, like their group runs or maybe any of the races they sponsor, all of that type stuff. They keep you up to date with that as well at Fleet Feet.
You're tuned in to Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
We are Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 WHBQ. Available on your radio dial at 560 AM and 98.5 FM, as well as around the world online at sports56whbq.com. Take us with you everywhere by downloading the Sports 56 app. And at home, just say, Alexa, play Sports 56. Wherever you are, stay tuned in to Real Sports Talk. Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Now back to Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by James Gattis Jewelers.
Diamonds are forever. Woo!
Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
What a finish at the 2024 Kentucky Derby at Churchill Downs. 156,710 in attendance at that venue in Louisville, the largest crowd since 2018. A record $210.7 million was bet on the Derby, which was won by 18-1 long shot. Mystic Dan wins the run for the Roses in the closest three-horse photo finish in the Derby since 1947. The second pick on the board, Sierra Leone, was second. Forever Young, which was Ed DeRosa, our expert's pick, finished third. Fierceness, by the way, the favorite, finished 15th out of 20. Ed took Fierceness out of his trifecta, went for some money, and nearly got it with Forever Young winning, but Mystic Dan on that inside rail controlled and hung on. It was another furlong, Eli. Mystic Dan finishes third, if not worse. Like somebody from behind may catch him, but hangs on to win in an incredible photo finish.
Yeah, if it was another 5 feet, he gets second. It was pretty incredible to see three across. I would have preferred the number 11 to get there and nose out the other two, but it was a fun race to watch and absolutely a great finish. Yeah, I mean, literally, it was for Sierra Leone. It needed one more head bob. If it was another 5 feet, the Sierra Leone would have won.
Well, his head bob kept him from finishing third. Because if it was the head bob and it was up, and then maybe Forever Young sneaks in to get second. Forever Young was the horse from Japan. And there was a lot of bumping coming down the stretch between Sierra Leone and Forever Young. And they said that, you know, the Japanese jockey on Forever Young was taking the brunt of it and could have made a inquiry into the stewards and said to take a look at it and maybe get Sierra Leone taken down. But he decided not to do that. And it ended up sticking with Sierra Leone ahead of Forever Young. But again, Mystic Dan, a surprise winner. That's why it's so hard to play the Derby. You got 20 horses. You need a perfect ride. But the one, again, the favorite, Fierceness, finishing 15th. I don't know what happened there. I mean, they were stoked. Before the race, the owner, the trainer talking about how great he had been running, his warm-ups, everything leading up to that race was perfect. And you can't blame that on just, oh, it was a bad trip. 15th out of 20 for the heavy favorite.
The Star Wars tie-in track Phantom did not do well, finished 11th.
Yeah.
So if you went the Star Wars route, it did not work out. Not that he was supposed to be up there, but if you were just maybe hoping for some Star Wars magic on May the 4th, it did not happen.
Yeah, may the losing bet be with you. So they had the photo finish of three horses in Louisville, and then they had the photo finish of two race cars in Kansas. The NASCAR race, the Cup race, ends up being the closest finish in NASCAR history. Kyle Larson wins the race over Chris Buescher by 0.001 seconds.
That's not very much.
No, and then Buescher took to social media later on in the evening and said that he should have followed the lead of Lightning McQueen and stuck out his tongue. But again, if you want dramatics, that's what you had. You had the dramatics at the Derby. You had the dramatics on the NASCAR Cup Series in Kansas. And then you had in the Stanley Cup playoffs, Game 7. Game 7 in a playoff series in hockey, there's nothing like it. I know it's dramatic in Major League Baseball and the NBA. I know. It's still great. Game 7's no matter what. But in hockey, the Bruins and the Maple Leafs playing Game 7 in Boston. The Maple Leafs scored in that third period to grab the 1-0 lead, and then Boston came back a minute later and tied it. And then it comes down to the final moments, and it ends up going into overtime. And then a minute 54 into overtime, David Pastrnak scores for Boston. He got behind the defense. I don't know how that happened, and they didn't see him, whatever. He makes a great shot, dekes the goalkeeper out, and they win 4-3. That was the sixth game number 7 between the two franchises. Boston has now won 5 of those 6. Toronto's got to feel snake bitten when they play in a game 7. And overall in game 7s in the playoffs, they've done horribly. But against Boston specifically, 1-5.
So who's left in the NHL?
So all the top seeds, I think this is what I heard, from the East and the West are still alive. In the East, you have Carolina and the Rangers. They played game 1 yesterday, and the Rangers won at Madison Square Garden 4-3. So they grab a 1-0 lead. You also had a game 7 yesterday between Dallas and Vegas. Vegas, the defending champions. Dallas won 2-1, so Dallas advances. So in the East, you got the Rangers, you got Carolina, you got Boston, you got Florida. And then in the West, you have Colorado, Dallas, Edmonton, Vancouver. Vancouver knocked out the Predators.
So there are two Canadian teams of it left.
Yes. Yes. They're playing each other.
They still have hopes. Oh, they're playing each other. Well, at least they know one Canadian team will advance. They still have hopes of finally winning another Stanley Cup up there in Canada.
How long has it been?
Forever.
Really? Like, what are we talking about here?
I think it's like the 80s.
60? Oh, the 80s. Okay. Oh, no, it was Edmonton. Edmonton won with Wayne Gretzky, won 4 times, right? So that's the last time they won? Was it Gretzky? And let me see. I'm going to double check here. Colorado, Dallas. Yeah, so I'm thinking. So you got Edmonton, you got Vancouver. Okay, so the two remaining Canadian teams. Since their last win, Dallas has won a cup, right? Colorado's won a cup. Carolina, I don't. Has Carolina won one? The Rangers have won a cup since then. The Panthers have not. The Bruins, I think, have. Because all the teams in Boston were winning titles. That's pretty amazing.
The last Canadian team.
I mean, for a long time there, it was
Montreal, 1993.
So 93, 31 years ago. I think, as I said, all those teams have won. I thought it was Edmonton, but I think all those teams that I mentioned winning a cup have won since 1993, if I'm not mistaken. But a couple of them have not won a cup. Florida hasn't won a cup. I don't think so. So anyway, there you go. That's who's left in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And then from Major League Baseball, the Minnesota Twins, don't look now, but have won 13 straight games. Break up the Twins.
It's my World Series champions.
You predicted that?
Mm-hmm.
Did you really?
Did I have them win in the World Series or lose in the World Series? I had them in the World Series. I'll have to look back. But I think I had them.
Well, you had them in the World Series. That's pretty impressive. They won 13 straight games. Also, you had the Marlins trade Luis Arraez to the Padres.
No, I had the Braves over the Twins in the World Series.
Okay, but you had them in the World Series. That's a good – and we'll see. Long way to go. But the Marlins trade Luis Arraez to San Diego. The batting champion from last year. So I guess the spring sale is underway in Miami. So what does Arraez do in his first game with the Padres? Gets four hits. It's the first time ever a player traded in their first game with the new team got four hits. So that's a nice pickup for a Padres team that already has some pretty good offensive players. Speaking of offense, Shohei Ohtani hits two home runs for the Dodgers. Now he's in a groove. He has 10 home runs. He's tied for the Major League lead. Trout's got 10. Of course, he's out now for the Angels. The two guys who were together for all those years in Anaheim and still they weren't able to win diddly. But Shohei, not pitching this year, just batting, and his numbers are as good as they always are. So he'll probably make another run at an MVP.
Yeah, he's just going to probably beat out his teammate, Mookie Betts. It'll probably come down to those guys.
Yeah, I think there's a good chance. And the A's have been a surprise. Now, they finally lost. After winning that game I mentioned earlier, with Brent Rooker hitting two home runs in the same inning, winning 20-4 on Saturday, the Marlins paid him back on Sunday with a 12-3 win. There were a lot of high-scoring outputs over the weekend in Major League Baseball. Did you notice that?
There's been a lot of high-scoring outputs. I mean, there's been a lot of double-digit games from teams over the past few weeks.
I mean, yesterday, Baltimore had 11, Washington had 11, Miami had 12, Arizona had 11, and then on Saturday, Philly had 14, Oakland at 20, Texas at 15, Dodgers at 11, and the Padres with the 13 runs. So they come through in the 13-run contest that we have. Town Village Audubon Park, senior living in today's world, located at 950 Cherry Road, just off Park Avenue in the heart of East Memphis. Offering more options to fit your needs more than ever before, they're dedicated to the long-term satisfaction and the quality of life for their residents. All they ask is that you're 55 years of age or older, so something that you're thinking about for your golden years, a parent, a grandparent, any relative or good friend. Think Town Village Audubon Park, 901-537-0002. That's the number to call. Set up a tour. They'll be very happy to show you their facilities. You can go online to find out more about the facilities at townvillageaudubonpark.com. Independent living, short-term respite stay is available. Even monthly options. Great event schedule, activities galore, all the modern amenities you want, everything you need to continue to enjoy life to its fullest. The basic services include bi-weekly housekeeping, all-inclusive resort-style dining with multiple venues. Apartments include full kitchen, washer and dryer. They have outpatient therapy. Also, the community amenities feature a fitness center, home theater, game rooms, indoor pool, whirlpool, 24-hour pantry, convenience store, library, beauty salon, five landscape courtyards, resident gardening areas, a dog park, and gated parking. And that's just some of the amenities. So check them out today. Town Village Audubon Park, 950 Cherry Road, just off Park Avenue. Or give them a call at 901-537-0002. Check them out online at townvillageaudubonpark.com. You're tuned in to Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.